Now, if you watch, and I know many of us have, to watch a child that's growing in a mother's womb, it's a thing of wonder. People oftentimes will call it the miracle of birth. But it's not really truly a miracle. It's the way God made the world. No less wondrous and no less awesome because of it. But it is the way God designed the process of life to happen. When we read in Psalms 139, and we're going to just look at verses 13 through 16. In Psalms 139, the psalmist here says, For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, even as yet when there was not even one of them. If you think about it, you know, you get half the DNA from one parent and half the DNA from another parent. They somehow come together into a single cell, and 9 months later you have a child. And it all goes automatically. And it all grows just the way God designed it. Now, throughout history of mankind, there has been a demand that we respect life. In Genesis chapter 9, after the flood, things changed in the world. And starting with verse 5, God says, surely I will require your lifeblood from every beast, I will require it. And from every man and from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man's his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. We were made different from the animals. Orlando and I were just talking about this morning. It wasn't quite planned that way. But we're different from the animals. We're made like God. We have a spirit like God. And there's a demand here that life be respected. When someone doesn't respect life, God puts in a death penalty. It says, from man's life is required because that person didn't respect the life of another. That's why it's there. Even if it's an animal just doing what an animal does and attacks a man, there is a respect for life. The animal broke a law, in a sense. That God wants life respected, especially the life of those who are made in his image. Now, animals also have life, but their life is respected there differently than we do for human life. If you go back in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 9, it says, the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground, all the fish of the sea, and into your hand they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is its blood. So here's how God says you're going to respect life in this case. You don't eat the blood. He explains it a little bit further in Leviticus, after the law of Moses is set up. In Leviticus 17, and in verse 10, Leviticus chapter 17, in verse 10, it says, and any man from the house of Israel or from the aliens who sojourn among them, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Therefore I said to the sons of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood, nor shall any alien who sojourns among you eat blood. So when a man or a sons of Israel from the aliens who sojourn among them in hunting catches a beast or a bird which may be eaten, he shall pour his blood out his blood and cover it with earth. For as the life of all flesh, his blood is identified with its life. I therefore say to you, the sons of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is in his blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Now notice what God's saying here. We show respect for life. And in particular, he designated that life is in the blood. So we're not allowed to eat blood, because we're showing respect for the life that was given. It's very simple type of rule. But human life was treated differently. And again, the mention is because man was made in the image of God. We go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We were created in God's image. It doesn't mean that God looks like we do. It means that we have independence. And we are not like the animals. The animals run after their programming, their instinct. We're allowed to choose respective of our instincts. But because of that, God gave us dominion over the world to take care of it on his behalf. And we are to respect the life of other people. Is that important? Because God is the giver of life. We're going to go into Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and starting with verse 24. Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 24. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and he has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, that they would seek God, if perhaps even grope for him, and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. God is the giver of life. We have to understand that. It is God who gives each one of us life. And so we have to respect that. Because to take that is then going against what God put in place. Now, over the years, we've in this country have passed laws to protect various species that might be fading out of from existence. And people get upset when, you know, eggs of turtles or eggs of eagles or things like that are destroyed. And there's reasons, and there's good reasons for that. We want to protect the potential of life for that particular species. But in other ways, we go to the wrong direction. Like, for instance, in Nebraska, we've had for years difficulties. We have a death penalty. And a lot of people say, well, we got to stop that death penalty because, it's not right to kill somebody. But in a sense, we're actually going against what God said, because if someone kills somebody else, especially intentionally, where's the respect for life if you save the murderer and allow him to get away with and have killing somebody else? Where's the respect for that life? We always think about the one who's perpetuating the sin. We forget about the victim. And the whole reason for it is not because we have something against the perpetrator, other than he's killed life, but it's because we have respect for the victim's life. That's what's being demanded. And so we have people going through long, crazy processes trying to stop any way possible from a death penalty being taken place. And they call that a respect for life, but in reality, they disrespect the victim's life. But just a few weeks ago, and this is what brought it up, everybody's been talking about this, and I can't pass up an opportunity. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, people were cheering in New York when they passed laws that allow children to be killed even by lethal injection, the very thing they're trying to prevent. Children being killed by lethal injection so long as they're not yet born. And the law says even up to the moment of birth. Even up beforehand. And it doesn't even have to be done by a doctor. Where is the justice in that? Where is the sensibility of that? Where is the respect for life? We want to protect eggs. But we cheer that human life is not being respected and protected, even before it's born. But of course, that then brings up the question, when does life start? When does somebody really become a human? See, the reason and how they've gotten to this point, how do we ever get to this point, is people started changing the definitions. You know, to avoid the obvious charges of murder, those advocating abortion have long claimed, well, the fetus that's in the womb is not really a human yet. It's not a child yet. That's how they justify it. That's how they think of it. And they basically say it's not alive yet. It's not a child until after it's born. But think about it. When is an eagle's egg an eagle? Well, if it's not an eagle, then why? And if eagles are protective species, then why is anybody upset that somebody destroys an egg? It's just fetal mass, right? That's the way logic should go. But no, we recognize, no, that's an eagle. Yeah, it's not formed yet, but it's still an eagle. It's in the egg. When a woman is expecting, we even still to this day still say that. You don't say to a woman, oh, you're with fetus. You go up and say, no, you're with child. We recognize there's a child there. And if a pregnant mother is killed, you know what, even in this country, the charge is double homicide. In fact, take a look at Exodus chapter 21. I've missed putting that on the slide, sorry. But Exodus 21, and starting with verse 22, says, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. The woman, because of a fight, ends up giving childbirth too early. If that child dies, it was a murder sentence. Life for life. When we see in throughout the scriptures, back in Genesis, when Rebecca becomes pregnant, and she has trouble in her pregnancy because the children in her womb were fighting. And take a look at Genesis 25, starting with verse 21. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, but the children struggled together within her and said, if it is so, then why am I like this and why? So she went and inquired of the Lord. Now what's interesting is in both Hebrew and in Greek, there is no difference between the word that's used for a child before it's born versus after it's born. It was still considered a child. It just hadn't been out in the world yet. But it was still called a child. In Job chapter 3, Job gets very, very depressed because of all the horrible things that Satan has caused to come upon him. And he gets to the point where he wishes he was never born. And in Job chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said, a boy is conceived. Now, it's interesting because he says, not just the day I was born physically into the world, but he said, let's get rid of the day also when I was conceived, when a boy was conceived. It wasn't fetal tissue. It was considered he was a boy. When? From the very point of which he was conceived. When David was describing, go back again and look at Psalms 139. When he was describing the formation of a child, actually he was describing the formation of himself. Look again at verse 139, Psalms 139, verse 13. For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I was fearfully, wonderfully made. When did David start being David? David's using terms to say, that was me in the mother's womb. I think all of us would consider it that way. See a picture of your mom when she was pregnant. That was me. I was there. When Isaiah talks about Jesus as being the anointed, in Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49, and starting with verse 1, listen to me, O islands. Pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he made me. And this is talking on the behalf of the Messiah. I was picked. I was designated from my mother's womb. And God called me. Down in verse 5 of that same chapter. Now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. When was Christ picked? According to Isaiah. From the time that he was in the womb. Actually, it was before that. But in this particular one, he's saying it was all the way from that point. I was designated. In fact, we can see that in Luke chapter 1. When we get into the New Testament, but let's mention in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, a woman named Elizabeth becomes pregnant. 136, and behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she shall be she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. When was that child a son? When it was conceived, and is now already 6 months in development. But that child later, when Elizabeth goes to visit her cousin, who's only 6 months old, or 6 months in pregnancy, look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child, the baby, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then down in verse 44, for behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ear, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Oh, wait a minute. That baby before it was born had emotions. It recognized Mary's voice. In fact, some of the studies that recently took some fads of you know, playing music and stuff like that when a woman's pregnant and all that, it comes from this. The recognition that babies actually know what's, at least on some level, knows what's going on before they're born. And then we found that that's part of the time when they learn language, is before they're born. A child is aware. And as we mentioned, neither Hebrew nor Greek that make a distinction between the terms. And the conclusion is that anything that states that human life isn't human after conception is just making an arbitrary decision. The consistency in the scriptures is life starts at conception. Period. And it's human life. It's nothing else. It cannot be anything else. Because all of us reproduce after our own kind. What we are witnessing is an evil where human life is claimed to be less valuable than even animal life. In fact, we're basically, it's gotten to the point in New York that human life has no value at all. I hate to say it that way, but that's what it is. But we have problems also on the other end of life. I want you to think about that. While we find in the Bible a few wicked men committing suicide, what we find consistently in the scriptures is that righteous men will not end their own lives no matter what the circumstances. Have you ever thought why? Job was so distraught that he wished he was never born, but you know he never talked about committing suicide. He wished he was dead, but he never talked about taking his own life. Take a look at Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 and verse 20. Why is the light given to him who suffers, and the life to the bitter of the soul, who longs for death, but there is none, who digs for it more than for hidden treasure, who rejoice greatly and would exult when they find the grave? Why is light given to the man whose way is hidden, and from God who has hedged him in? Notice how much respect Job has for life. Even though he doesn't want to live, he's miserable, he wishes he never was born, he wishes somebody would just take his life, but at the same time, he will not do so. Because he said, God's hedged me in. This is God's decision. God gave him the life. When he leaves, is God's decision. Elijah also went into deep depression in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 and in verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Now, did you notice that? He never talks about killing himself. He just goes up to God and says, I'm ready to go. But he saw it as God's decision. Jonah had a lot of disputes with God. But in Jonah chapter 4, when he gets mad at God, and in verse 3, Jonah says, therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. And God's only answer was, do you have any reason to be angry? Jonah might want to die. We can understand that. But he knew it wasn't his right to take even his own life. You know, sometimes that's a problem that, you know, we have in our society. Well, it's my life. I get to do with what I want to. No. I have been given life by God. He does with it what he wants to. Now, there in several European countries, this is one of the things that brought this up. I was listening to a radio show. The DJ got it, the numbers wrong, because I try to find them. But it's still disturbing. In countries like the Netherlands, euthanasia, which is voluntary deaths, have been steadily rising. They've made it legal to be life to be taken. It's now somewhere between 4% and 5% of all deaths in the Netherlands are people who are killing themselves, committing suicides. And again, it shows a lack of respect for life. Yes, life can get miserable. Life can get very uncomfortable. Life can be very hard. But life is a gift from God. And life is to be respected. Even when I don't want to stay here. Which I pray I don't get to that point. But in Romans chapter 1, Paul describes how the Gentile society got to the chaos that it was in, especially the Greek society. He breaks it down step by step, how they went from, because all of us know God, to the point where God is rejected and chaos ensues in society. And it started out with a rejection of God himself that went into fornications, went into homosexuality. But as the steps and steps are laid out, we get down to verse 28. And it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I want you to go back and look at that verse 31. It mentions a word there that says unloving. And the word actually is the Greek word stragos. It means without natural affection. The fact is that when we live in the world and we deal with other people, we should love other people. That's normal. But the Greek society got to the point where they lost natural affection. And can I name it any other way that when some woman wants to kill her child that's developing in her womb, even up to 9 months, where is the natural affection that ought to be there? What we're seeing is a world that's just like had happened before. The Greek society went haywire. We're heading down the same path. Rapidly. And I don't have a solution for it other than to teach what's true. But we got to somehow stop this. We got to teach people to love one another. That's why we come back to what Jesus' command is. Here you'll know that you are my disciples when you love one another. We got to get that back from all our friends, our neighbors, to spread it. So that people will start making good decisions again. I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, we always leave that opportunity open, that we weren't talking about that yet. But there is a life that we ought to respect, and that's the life of Christ. And he offered up his life, dying for us that we might have life eternally. And the opportunity is available to us today. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.